Right. Well, welcome everyone to Wednesday night prayer meeting service, and so good to see everybody here. And we're trusting there's many in virtual land that's getting ready to tune in on Facebook, and that's the unnumbered crowd. We just don't know how many, but we do know that there's some watching weekly, and so thank you for watching, and thank you for tuning in tonight. Everybody had a good week this week so far. Good, that's good. And just learning how to give the devil a few punches myself, and that's always good. And he always tries to sneak them in, so I snuck a few in on him this week. And I'm glad tonight that I've read the back of the book, the back of the Bible, and we win. And so there's really nothing to worry about, be concerned about if we win. Let's go ahead and jump right in to our prayer list. And I want to say this, that well, first of all, it's good to see Miss Marianne Sandy with us tonight. And, of course, had Brother Eddie's memorial service on this past Saturday. And how fitting it was, Memorial Day weekend, Brother Eddie's memorial service. And he, too, having served in armed forces, what a blessing that part of it was. And just to be able to speak over him, thank you for that honor to be able to do that. And well, it's been a blessing having you guys here, and that's why we're here, is to bear one another's burdens. And so, nonetheless, got to meet some of your family and Eddie's brother. What a blessing he is, was, and he pretty much preached on Saturday, threw some preaching in there, and what a blessing that was. But just want to thank everyone for having who had part in that, making it happen, from the singing to the food. We just thank you so very much for doing that, being there. And I didn't emphasize on Sunday the school in Texas. Just had so much on my mind, but I know you've been praying for that school and you've heard about it, but let's please continue to pray for the families that lost. Maybe I did mention it Wednesday night. Because I remember looking at you and you giving me a number, and I had a number on anyway. But let's continue to remember those families. Couldn't imagine losing a child, but you know, or a spouse even. Two female teachers got killed. I believe the final count was 19 students, and just terrible, terrible, terrible. But let's remember them. I think they said all 21 funerals spaced out the course of a week or two, ma'am. Okay. Oh, they came from Griffin, Georgia. Wow, how about that? Yes, yes. Oh yeah. Well, moments like this, proud to be a Georgian, you know, and that's a nice touch. Whoever that came from, that was a very nice touch. But let's remember them in our prayers. And very, 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 very heartbreaking. I listened to one story. Won't elaborate too much, go too much further than I have in this. But family had a little stack of clothes, what they were going to bury their son in. And little brother was trying to get used to the idea. Little sister. Couldn't imagine, don't want to imagine, but let's just pray for them. All right. Let's remember Miss Shauna Bendy. The last I heard, let me just say, she was here Saturday, and she did sign language. I can only imagine Brother Eddie's memorial service at the conclusion of it. She went back in the hospital this week with some problems. I believe, anxiety issue, some pain, not really sure. The doctors are really not even sure what's going on, but Brother Michael texted me yesterday and said that as of now, she's scheduled for a spinal tap on Friday. So maybe they can figure out what's going on with her. I guess there's nothing any worse than knowing that you don't feel good and the doctor's not finding something. And so that has to be frustrating and aggravating. But we'll pray, continue to pray, that is, for Miss Shauna. Of course, Brother Michael as well. He's stretched from can to can't, working and taking care of things at home, and his wife. So we'll remember them. And let's remember the Prestridges, Miss Cece. Again, she sent her mother home to be with the Lord. I guess it was maybe a day apart from Brother Eddie. So, but let's continue to remember her and Brother Chuck and their families. Randy and Diane Ely. Let's remember our children's home and all of our house parents. It's summertime, and so that means all of our kids. Go ahead. That's right. That's right. I heard about that. Got three new ones today. Okay. All right. Two girls and a boy, and same family. Same family. So I guess I won't be seeing them Sunday, but I'm sure they'll be here Sunday. And so we'll be away. But praise the Lord for that. And just pray that they'll mesh right in and get used to the home they're about to be living in or they're living in. All right, Bobby and Nancy McClendon, Connie Teague, she was here Sunday. Helen Bennett, David and Glenda Henderson, Ruby Harper, Harold Dolph, Leonard and Dolores Palmer, James and Shirley Townsend, Johnny and Pat Eccles, Mary Kelly, Don Daly, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey. I seen a post where Randy Bailey went to church this past Sunday with Brother Snyder and Miss Marsha over at First Baptist Atlanta, where Charles Stanley used to be. That's a great thing for Brother Randy, knowing the cancer and all the things he's been battling, not feeling well. So we praise the Lord that I'm pretty sure that was a recent post. But anyway, praise the Lord for God touching him. Don and Carla Rich, they'll be here Monday and be teaching Brother Don Will this time next week on Wednesday night. And so we'll still be in Florida at that time. So Brother Don will be here, Miss Carla, and I know that'll be a great time for you. Claudia Darby, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Gerald and Francis Carroll. I just heard from... let's see, that Miss Frances Carroll, she's not doing well, taking a turn for the worst. Brother Larry Bennett, just gave me that information downstairs a moment ago. And also, Brother Larry, he has to go for a biopsy on his thyroid. I want to say in August it is. So let's remember Brother Larry and Miss Frances Carroll. Melissa Slagle, James Tolan Brown, Peyton Cochran, Kevin Brook, and all of our shut-ins. And so let's remember those requests. Someone tonight have an update, a praise, a prayer request, something along those lines? Now's the time to mention it.
My friend Nancy that was here.
Yes.
My husband is in hospice.
That's right. This is a lady named Miss Nancy, which is Miss Mary Ann's friend that was here.
His name is George.
His name is George. So no longer on dialysis, personal choice. Mm-hmm. And so not doing well at all. Let's remember him. Miss Lee Ellen said she had unspoken. Anybody else have unspoken? All right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, absolutely. And we praise the Lord along with you for protecting you. I believe it was a drunk driver. Hit Miss Sharon, and then they went to track him down. I think his car was wrapped around a tree somewhere or ran into a tree. And praise the Lord that you were fine and no one else was hit. A lot of times those drunk drivers hit cars and the innocent die and the drunk driver lives. I'm not saying I wanted him to die, but it's just crazy how all that works out. Speaking of accidents, on the way to church tonight, me and Lily were about halfway here, and all of a sudden on a two-lane road, here comes a car out from behind a car on that side of the road coming right at us. And I knew what they were doing. Well, at first I didn't. At first I thought that maybe they, I don't know, passed out and they swerved in our lane or they were drunk. But what they were doing was they were passing another car trying to get in front of that car before we came up. And I want to tell you what, it spooked me. I didn't expect to see that. But I told Lily, I said, we would have ran off in that cow field over here before that car would hit us head on. We ain't going to get in no accident like that. And terrible, terrible, just reckless drivers. Anyone else? All right. Well, again, my family and I, we're going to be away starting, we're going to leave out Saturday morning, and I got a few things to take care of tomorrow and Friday. And so if you need me, I'll be around for those 2 days. I talked to Brother Ceylon. And, of course, Brother Don's aware of this as well. But if we're away and something should come up, you can contact Brother Ceylon, Brother Don, Brother CJ, or Brother Brian. And if it's of a huge magnitude, just let me know. And that way so I can be in the loop. But we'll be away from Saturday to Saturday. Is our projected days, but we'll probably head back around Thursday and Friday so I can get ready for Sunday. All right, looking forward to it. We'll miss y'all. But you're going to be in great hands with Reverend Turner. He'll be here Sunday morning, Sunday night. And so invite your family and friends. Make it a big deal. It's going to be 2 great services, I know. Anybody else? All right. Well, all that would, let's have a time of prayer together. And then Brother Jeff, it looks like, has a song for us. And then we'll bring our message for this evening. All that would, you can meet us in the altar or pray where you're at. Psalm 121 tonight. Psalm 121. Psalms, Psalm 121, and just going to try to be a blessing and be a help tonight, something to chew on. It's midweek, and Psalm 121, I want to read the whole chapter, it's just 8 verses. Psalm 121, verse 1 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. That's 8 short verses completing the entire chapter of Psalm 121. And let me just say this by way of introduction. Psalm 121, many Bibles have a little inscription below the chapter in the book of Psalms. And mine says, a song of degrees, song of degrees. Another word for degrees is elevation in the sense we're talking, not in completing school and getting some kind of degree. A song of degrees, a song of elevation. This is also known as a pilgrim psalm or the pilgrim psalm. And most commentators agree that this psalm was actually sung as Israel were making their way up to Temple Mount to worship. And so this was actually a song, a psalm that was sung. And I don't know if you've ever heard psalm sung before, but it's a beautiful thing to hear a psalm sung. A couple choirs, I believe it was Floyd Road at one time had one of the psalms in song form, and they sang it. And it just built, and it built, and it built, and it built. And then it got to the main part, and of course, you were just inspired because of the words and the music that was put towards it. And we know that many of these psalms had music put towards these psalms as they were sung. And so we believe David is the writer here. And no doubt David had some times in his life where he felt down. He felt defeated. And of course, as we said a moment ago, this particular psalm was actually sung as the children of Israel, the people of God, made their way up to the temple to worship. And so David, writing this down, definitely had a time of reflection. And some of the words that are used here, like verse number 1, I will lift up mine eyes. Well, evidently he was downcast in mind and soul. He was discouraged or defeated or depressed for his eyes to be down. Does anybody ever walk around, and I'm bad about this myself, where your eyes are just down at the ground and you're walking somewhere? Anybody besides me? I don't know. I have a habit of doing that. Most of the time I'm thinking and I'm walking to a store, I'm just kind of looking down. Some people, I'm just waiting on someone to come up beside me and ask, sir, are you okay? Is everything okay? And maybe they have. I was just so zoned out in deep thought that I didn't hear them. But David had this kind of stature at this particular place in Psalms. His eyes were drooping. His eyes were looking down. And verse number 2, he talks about his help comes from the Lord. And then verse number 3 down through verse number 8, it's just security he gleans from God's protection. And so at the end of the day, we can step back and say that David was determined. David was determined. He goes from looking down to looking up to finding strength in the character of God so that he can continue on. And tonight, the title of the lesson is simply this: David's determination. The determination of David. David found determination to keep going on. Is it just me, or all of us at times have to really, really reach deep? We have to, as though there's not enough reason to keep continuing on, going fully strong for God in our family, in our church, as if that is not enough reason to keep going on. There's times in life where we really have to reach deep, don't we? I mean, we look around in our community, things that are going on, the financial dilemma in America, things are on the increase, and in family problems and physical problems and things that have happened that that we're okay with, things that have happened that we're not okay with. If we're not careful, a lot of those things can snowball into a place where we're just kind of downcast, and we're just really, really looking for a reason, looking for something to grab a hold on to keep going on. Well, that's David here. And tonight I just want to mention a few things from these verses about David's determination and where he found his strength. Number one, in verse number one, we see that David was intentional. He was intentional. Notice the first two words. I haven't read a lot of scriptures that have blessed me, or I have read a lot of scriptures, but these two words have blessed me more than a lot of scriptures I've read. David says, "I will." I will. David was, that was his conclusion. And I want to say at the end of the day, that's going to have to be our conclusion. If we want to live and see good days, or attempt to see good days, if we want to live long enough to see the church continue to be blessed by God and grow, it has been growing, it has been being blessed by God. If we want to see those things in our family hopefully work out for the better, and if we just want to see good days and be in health, that's really the long and short of it. We have to make up our mind if we want to live or not. And I'm not talking about options of anything other than living. I'm not talking about giving up and dying of some way, somehow. But what I'm talking about is that you can adapt to life where you're just going through the motions. You can be present in body, but not spiritually and not mentally. And I don't know about you tonight, but I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to just show up on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, in body, with a smile, but yet on the inside, spiritually and mentally, my mental eyes and my spiritual eyes are looking at the ground. You remember those two disciples on the walking on the road to Emmaus, and after the resurrection, and they were talking, how could these things be? Our Jesus is gone. And they had no idea, but Jesus crept right in upon their conversation, walked with them. And the Bible says that their eyes were holding. Their eyes were fixed so that they could not tell it was Jesus. They were so caught up in their situation. They were so caught up in the fact that, was this Jesus? Was it not Jesus? Where's he at? They were so caught up on that they failed to realize he was right there with them. Sometimes in life, if we're not careful, we can go through the motions. We can be here in body, but be somewhere else mentally, be somewhere else spiritually. And I don't want to be that kind of person who's so caught up with this situation in life and that predicament, that dilemma, this situation, fighting and warring and doing all these other things. So caught up with those other things that I fail to realize that Jesus is here, He is well and able. He wants to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I don't want to be that guy, and I know y'all don't want to be that person as well, where you just go through the motions and you're here in body, but not spiritually and not mentally. And so David says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. You know, sometimes we just have to be intentional, whether it feels good or it doesn't. This morning, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to spend a few minutes in God's Word. This morning, I'm not going to wake up and turn the news on first and get all caught up in that negativity. I'm going to wake up this morning, whether I feel like it or not, heartburn and all. I'm going to wake up and open my Bible and read and see what God has to say. You have to be intentional, because how many times does everything just work out just right in life? I mean, how many times does it just work out just right? Few and far in between. Lily's at the stage now where she's trying to learn that things just, you know, very rarely work out perfectly. And one thing goes wrong, you know, on vacation, during the summertime, even during the school year, one thing goes wrong during that day. The whole day is just mud. You know, I just had the most terrible day. What'd you do today? Well, I went to school, took some tests. How'd you do on your test? I passed my test. Well, what else did you do? Went on and learned a few things. And I said, why do you think you had a terrible day? Well, because they didn't have pizza for lunch. You know, something so silly and frivolous. But, you know, as adults, we're kind of the same way. You know, we'll go through our days and our weeks and, you know, everything kind of working out. And some things working out, other things not working out. And we choose to focus on the things that are not working out compared to the things that are working out. And because of that, we have a way of allowing our eyes to droop spiritually, our eyes to droop mentally. And so, therefore, we need to be like David here. Be intentional. Regardless of the day we're having. Again, waking up, heartburn and all. Things on your shoulders. Things to do. Meetings to have. People to talk to. Nothing going your way. That will not determine your day or mine. That's my resolution anyway. I want to be like David. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. I will arise in the morning and get in God's Word and pray until I feel like my soul is satisfied. Y'all know the difference, don't you? When you just quickly get in, read one word. Sometimes jobs and things like that calls for a quick read, but there's nothing like getting in the Word and staying there and praying until your soul is satisfied. And so that's what I want. I will get up and read and meditate until my soul is satisfied, not just out of pastoral or Christian duty. I will tell somebody about Jesus. When discouragement tries to creep in and I feel that dark shadow coming over me mentally, I will plead the blood and ask God to help me through that moment. I will. It's time to get rid of I won't or I can't. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All right, David was intentional. He said, I will. He knew it would take some internal spiritual fortitude to make his pilgrimage and continue on his journey. He never did, or he, at least it's not stated here, any excuses. He didn't rehearse any excuses. He just says, I will. I can remember Brother Snyder saying, of course, in many of his sermons, but as we would speak from time to time, he would say, and you already know it, think, don't feel. Think, don't feel. And what is he talking about? Because your feelings are like this all the time, up and down, up and down. And he would say, don't tell me how you feel. Tell me what you think. And how true that is. We cannot operate on feelings. One day we're happy, one day we're sad. One day we're mad, one day we're glad. Up and down, up and down. cannot operate on feelings. It must be what's true that allows us to operate correctly. And what is true tonight? What is true? If you're saved, you're going to heaven. Praise the Lord. If nothing ever changes, you'll see Jesus and family one day, those that are saved as well. What's true tonight? How can we live our lives daily in victory, although everything is not hunky-dory? Because Jesus is with us. Same elementary truths we know. He's with us. He's the one who enables us. He's the one that gives us our peace. He's the one that stays and sticks closer than any brother. He's the one who's not bankrupt tonight. And because of that, we can lift up our eyes and say, you know what? Today is going to be a day of victory for me. So David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Now, at the house, I have this plaque put up, and it's called the Resolution. And I know when it comes around New Year's, a lot of people, they believe or they don't believe in making New Year's resolutions. Well, this one's a little different. This is more like a resolve. And there is a little difference. You got to have a resolve. You got to have some kind of goal in mind. Whether it's January 1st or any other day of the year. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. And a lot of people are perishing because they don't have no vision. They don't have any kind of anything that they're moving toward. It's based off the movie Courageous. And those who have seen that movie know at the very end they had the dads circle around in the yard. And the preacher there, of course, I had opportunity to meet that preacher. He was a black preacher down in South Georgia. But in the movie, he was a preacher there. He was officiating the resolution plaque. And on that plaque, and in that movie, they all agreed that they would do some things. And these are just a few of the things that's on that resolution plaque, as in the movie. I will strive to be a godly father. I will strive to be a godly husband. I will strive to be, I will strive to abstain from anything that could bring reproach upon the name of Christ or my family. Just a lot of I wills. You see, we got to have some kind of resolve in our life. New Year's, people call it resolution, whatever. I call it a daily resolve, a goal that I'm going after, because I do want to be the best godly husband and father, pastor, friend, all the above that I could possibly be. That's who I want to be. And so, back to David. David says, my resolve, my goal, my punch is this. I will lift up mine eyes. I will lift up mine eyes. And if you don't hear anything else tonight, just join David and agree that you will lift up your eyes as well. No matter how bad or how difficult it may be, that you will try to lift up your eyes. And you can do that by the power of God, which we're about to get into. Number one, David's determination. David was intentional. But then David was directional. He says in verse number one, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And so David was, he was directional. He says, I will lift up. Now, for David to say that I'm going to have to lift up mine eyes for help, one reason he said that is because there wasn't any help down here that could help him. David found no help horizontally. Has anybody ever been there where you were going through something and there was no help and it seemed like no person cared for your soul? I mean, there was no help horizontally. You ran this way, there was no help. You ran that way, to the church, to the pastor, to a teacher, a deacon, friends and family, everybody's so busy, there's no help, no help nowhere. That's how David felt. He said, I looked around and there was no help. In fact, if you want to turn over for just a moment to Psalm 142, listen to this. Psalm 142, a few pages to your right. In verse 1, David said, this is when he was in a cave, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble, as if the Lord didn't know. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. That's where David is at back in Psalm 121, verse 1. He realizes that. He realizes there's no help, no hope. Horizontally, from east to west, he looked for help. He looked for refuge. No man cared for his soul. Paul stated some of the same words in the New Testament. He said, no man stood with me, demons forsook me, but God stood with me. And I want to say tonight that no matter where we're at, we may feel like man has forsaken us, even when we do have help. You still can feel like you have no help. Have you ever been there before where there's help everywhere, but on the inside you still feel helpless? Many times God allows us to get to that place so that we look not horizontally, but vertically. Look vertically. Again, as Paul said in the New Testament, he said, Lord, demons forsook me. I'm by myself. No man stood with me, but you strengthened me. You stood with me. Sometimes some of the most powerful places to be in life are the most loneliest places. Daniel in the lion's den. That is a whole new level of faith, I'm telling you. In the den with a bunch of hungry lions. It was a very dangerous place, but it was a very sacred place. The three Hebrews in the fire, I mean, they could have burned up, but there was a fourth man in the fire. And so all of these times in Scripture, we see that there are dangerous scenarios where people are lonely and people are sad. David, in Psalm 142, was in a cave by himself. And that wasn't the rest of what David said in Psalm 142. I stopped. In verse 4, Psalm 142, he says, I looked at my right hand, and behold, but there were no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. But then he said in verse number 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. Thy righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. And so we see who David directed his prayer to. These are key elementary things again tonight. But back in Psalm 121, he said, horizontally there was no help, so I turned my attention vertically. I looked up. I directed my eyes upward. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. All right, now we see that, so David is looking up. That's a good start. And then he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. There are two different things, two different ways you can look at this. As he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. What is he talking about, looking up to the hills? Well, viewpoint number one, he's on his journey upward to the Temple Mount, where the Ark of the Covenant was, God's presence with the people in that day. So David is saying, I'm looking to you, because that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. But also on the same token, others have said, this refers to Creator God, looking, as he would say, my eyes unto the hills. Unto the hills. He's looking at the hills. And so what is he talking about? Well, we know in verse number 2, he's talking about God, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And so what David is talking about here, he says, I'm going to lift up mine eyes unto the hills, because that's where the Ark of the Covenant's at, and those hills are hills that my Creator has made. And if he can make hills like that, and if he can make and put cattle on hills like that, and if he can do all of these things, and if he is with me, the Ark of the Covenant, then I need to be looking in his direction, because not only is he my God, but he is Creator God. And it really does something for the heart and the soul when you're a pilgrim in this weary land, and you have a God that's living on the inside of you that created the world. It really brings things in perspective. God, there's a person that I work with that just won't get out of my way, and it has eaten me up every day for years now. Don't you know God can take care of that if he wants to? Maybe God's trying to take care of something in you. But he could take care of that. And then those who have physical problems, God can take care of that if he wants to. If he created the world and the people in it, no doubt God can take care of whatever is racking our bodies. And so it's just getting to a place of realizing that. Again, it is the walk of faith. I wish sometimes that we didn't have to exercise faith, don't you? Where you were walking through a Psalm 23, Valley of the Shadow of Death, and there wasn't no spiritual battle. There wasn't no spiritual Armageddon. There wasn't no conflict of soul and flesh and spirit. But I wish it came easy, is what I'm trying to say. But it don't come easy. We have, when we got saved, the Bible talks about the moment we believed the incorruptible Word of God that liveth and abideth forever, we have digested into our hearts. And like regular seeds that grow for a while, then they die off, this will never die. And so it's in our hearts from now until eternity. And because of that, we have a possibility of really trusting God when the chips are down. We have the possibility with God's incorruptible word that liveth and abideth forever in our hearts, that is sharp than any two-edged sword. This book is alive tonight. This book has the promises of God. This book is God breathed. It is the word of God, and because of that, we can know God's peace while we're going through dark times. So David tonight, he says that. He says, you know what, I'm just going to lift up my eyes and I'm going to focus on God, because he's the creator of everything. And if he wants me to walk through it, I'll walk through it. If he doesn't, I won't. End of story. So we see David was directional in verse 2. David was intentional in verse 1. Or David was intentional in verse 1. David was directional in verse 1 and 2. Now, let me mention a third thing, and we'll bring it to a close in a few moments. David was intentional. David was directional. But then David was restful. In verse number 3, he says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And it goes on down, he mentions more things. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. David says in verse number 3, God would sustain him. God would sustain him. And because of that, it made him restful. Verse number 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. In other words, God, you're going to keep me steady. You're going to keep me planted. You're going to keep me from falling. As long as I keep my attention focused on you, and Lord, as long as I'm looking up towards you, you will keep my feet on the ground. And we know the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, talks about the armor. I've said this recently, but I'll say it again. Sometimes in life we're running, sometimes we're leaping, but we're all called to remain standing. We're all called to stand. Having done all, stand. And David says, Lord, you're going to keep my feet. Sometimes it feels like I want to fall over and die. Sometimes it feels like that I'm just going to be swept away with the cares of this world. But you're going to make sure that I'm standing as long as I keep my eyes on you. And so this brings rest to David. The other part of that verse, it says in verse 3, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. And so this is telling us that God is not lazy. He's not lazy. He's not slumbering around in heaven, losing his focus upon one of his children. And so this brings rest to David. Now look in verse number 4. Tells us God is not asleep. There's a little difference. Depending on how you interpret that. He says in verse number 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, this is a definite distinction between slumber and sleeping. Verse number 3, we don't have a lazy God. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Verse number 4, we don't have a sleeping God. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And so that brought comfort to David. It brought comfort to him that God would sustain him and keep his feet planted, and that God is not lazy, nor is God sleeping. That sustained David. And at the end of the day, those scriptures are still there, and that's what's meant to sustain the Christian by believing that he is not sleeping on the clock, on the post for us. He is not slumbering and lazy. He knows exactly what's going on. Now, verse number 5, verse number 6, David mentions the Lord as protector. Verse number 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He's talking about God will protect me. He will protect me. He talks about in verse number 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. You remember in the Old Testament, as Moses led Israel, how God used the cloud by day and the fire by night. I believe that cloud also protected the children of Israel from getting burned up during the day from the sun. And so he led Israel cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. David also says here, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. You won't be smitten with heat. You won't be smitten with the chill of night. Of course, there's other things off of that we could mention about the moon and all. But nevertheless, it is a protectant, David is saying. He says, I'm protected. I'm protected. The Lord will lead me by day and by night. No matter how hot my trial gets, no matter how cold life gets, he says he will lead us and protect us, as he said with David. And let me mention verse number 7 and 8. David rests in the fact that God is a preserver. Verse number 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You know, in the book of John, the New Testament, there's some of the same wordage, thy going out, thy coming in, dealing with the good shepherd, and how that there will be liberty. And if we look at both of those at one time, I believe David is saying that God will, he will preserve, he will watch over me as I leave and also as I come. God will watch over me. He will protect me. He has his eye on me and my eyes on him. David is saying here, verse 7, again, I'll back up a little. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Now, as long as our eye is on him and we follow him, we'll be preserved from evil. But Christians still commit works of evil. But it only happens when we take our eye off him. And so tonight David says, he says, I'm restful. I'm restful because I'm protected. I'm preserved. I'm restful because I'm sustained. I'm restful because he's not lazy, nor is he asleep. He says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look up, even though it feels good or not, heartburn and all. I'm going to look up and I'm going to focus my attention on my Creator, who has the ability to sustain me, protect me, because he loves me. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, just a simple lesson tonight on the determination that David had. And Lord, I thank you for allowing us to share the whole chapter tonight. Of course, we could have said some other things along with that, but I trust that the things that were said is what was supposed to be said. And Lord, I pray that you'll just watch over your flock, God. I pray that while we're away this weekend and next week, that you would watch over everyone while we're gone, as you do while we're here. And Lord, that you would be with the services on Sunday, be with the services this coming Wednesday or next Wednesday as well. Just let the church be revived while we're gone and encouraged by these men of God coming and sharing Jesus. We love you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Anything to mention before class is dismissed? Well, as always, y'all are very good listeners. And thank you for the opportunity each and every Wednesday night to be able to teach. And again, we're going to go and have a good time and come back refreshed and ready to keep on going with a fresh zeal and passion. That's what we're wanting. All right. Well, you're at liberty to go.